Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Man, for 2.5 hours, I got to fight. I know how it is. So, man, I respect you. But, man, it's time for a change. It's time for a change for you as players, for this organization, for us as coaches. Man, I'm trying to get something that's going to stir you up from in the inside, right? That's going to change exactly who you are as a player, right? Who this organization is. Man, so we can get ready to move forward on this journey. Jonah, where you at, Jonah?
Right here.
Okay, you started at Rutgers, right? And then you went to Ohio State. How many games did you lose that year at Ohio State? One game. Every game you played, every time you woke up to play that game, you felt like you was going to win that game. Brock, where you at, Brock? All right, 2011, y'all went to Natty, right? How many games did you guys win that year? 13 games. How many did you lose? One game. Same feeling, right? Every time you put your feet on the ground that morning, you felt like you was winning that game. You damn right. You knew you was going to win. Winning. Time to get that feeling back.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, coach. Let's get it. All right, we're right back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. That was Aaron Glenn on Hard Knocks a couple years back. If you're a football fan, you watched that and you didn't even realize. You watched Hard Knocks. That's him talking to the Lions in a room that looks like a room that, you know, a film room or, you know, a college lecture room. And, man, he's a Southern gentleman. He's inspiring. And it just makes you think about where the Jets are going. They are going to draft players from winning college programs. They are going to draft winners. They are going to get the losers out of the locker room. And they're going to set a standard behind him. It's non-negotiable. It's the only thing that he's going to come in here and do. It might not happen right away, but it's going to happen over time. I think the Jets are in good hands with Aaron Glenn. If you could just listen to the way that he was talking to those guys, man, about, you know, I respect you. Like, I did it. Like, it goes a long way. Some people want to sell it short. It goes a long way for a coach to have played in the NFL, to have put in that grind, to know what that is like. If you want, go look at the difference between Rob Saleh talking to the Jets on Hard Knocks and Aaron Glenn talking to the Lions on Hard Knocks. It's on HBO Max, 888-808-1019. Brian is in Edison, next up on The Fan.
What's going on, Keith?
What's up, Brian?
Chilling, bro. Yeah, man. Aaron Glenn, man. I think we got the coach, man. You know, I really think he's gonna change around the culture, motivate the players. That's something that you know, that were lacking in the Jets last year. You know, a lot of, you know, disciplinary issues. Players weren't locked in. I feel like, you know, without, you know, having a turmoil in coaching from, you know, losing Rob Saleh like week five all the way up to. You know, having Jeff Ulbrich kind of learn from the, you know, learning to be a head coach really on the job, really, which I feel like, you know, was kind of the disaster, you know, in the makings at that point on. So I think the Jets are, you know, moving the right direction with Aaron Glenn and having him as a leader with the team. Just a quick question or just trying to, you know, pick your brain on this. Obviously the Jets moved up, you know, pick their head coach first. I'm just thinking of head, you know, let's say, you know, usually year one, year two with a new head coach, you know, new GM, it's usually the honeymoon phase. You know, everyone's excited. Everyone's, you know, feeling good. You know, everyone's looking forward to the next season or two. You know, even if the first season doesn't work out to the best ability, as long as there's positive results or positive reinforcement from the previous year, you know, everyone, the media, the fan base, you know, they're going to be like, all right, you know, we see some progress. Let's say things doesn't go so well with the Jets, with Aaron Glenn. Obviously, you know, we're still pending on the GM. you know, let's say year three, do you feel there's going to be a power struggle between the, you know, the Jets making decisions where, you know, right now it feels like, you know, the Jets are more inclined with the head coach than the potential GM?
Thanks for the call, Brian. I can't jump to 3 years from now. I can't even get to next year. We don't know who the GM is. We don't know who the quarterback is. What we do know is the circus is over. What we do know is that the free-for-all is over. What we do know is he's going to tighten them up. So the jumping off sides, the not being prepared, the illegal procedures, those type of things, you expect that to be cleaned up. Game management, clock management, he's going to have to learn those things in games, but I think he's going to be prepared to, right? I think you're just going to see a different-looking Jets team. And like I said, they have talent. This is a roster that everybody, whether you looked at PFF, I remember doing a stream for Bleacher Report last year, top 10 rosters in the NFL, ESPN, they were on everybody's list last year as a top 10 roster in the NFL. They can add draft picks to that. They're going to have a certain type of guy they're looking for. They're going to add free agents. Some of these guys are going to depart. DJ Reed, who compared him to the 85 Bears that didn't age so well, he's gone. And he'll get paid somewhere. Good for him. I look at Aaron Glenn and the standard that he's about to set and the examples that we can pull from in Detroit. And I look at this Jets team. I can't look about 3 years down the road and guess if there's going to be turmoil. I think Woody Johnson is ready to stand down. He doesn't want to be looked at like this. He doesn't want to be talked about like this. He wants to win. He came out and told you this is the most talented team we've had in years. So imagine his disappointment. Imagine where he is as an owner. He wants to get success. He wants to produce. He wants to get to the playoffs and shake this laughing stock, longest, you know, drought in a professional sport. Like, I think he's going to stand down and not be in the way. I guarantee you Aaron Glenn's not going to be like, yeah, bring your kids in. Brick Johnson all bricked up coming into the locker room. It's over with. All that is done. 888-808-1019. Let's go to BT in North Brunswick.
Hey, Chief.
Hey.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you? What do you got
for us? No, I'm sorry. Great to hear. I listen to you every night. Awesome show.
Thank you.
I want to go off the radar for a second. Like, in a crazy situation, you know, AFC, NFC Championship weekend is this weekend. If, say, the Giants and the Jets both hosted those games, what would happen? What would the NFL do? But it could happen with the Chargers or the Rams, but like, what would happen?
I guess if there's some imaginary world where I don't think it'll ever happen, but there's an imaginary world where the Jets and the Giants are the higher seed and they have home field advantage.
Right. Like, the Jets could host an AFC championship game and the Giants could host an NFC championship game. What would the NFL do in that situation?
Yeah,
like those games are like 30 to 30.
I would assume,
like,
they would put one game on Saturday, one game on Sunday. You can't have them on the same day. You can't have them over.
Well, yeah, you can't. Wouldn't that make some kind of like crazy, like?
Yeah, the NFL is not worried about it. Anybody from the NFL office is listening right now. Thanks for the call, BT. They're laughing. They're like, impossible. Like, we don't ever have to worry about that. It's never happened. It's not going to happen. But maybe. Maybe the Giants draft the quarterback of the future. Maybe Aaron Glenn and this new GM get things going. And before we know it, a couple years, we're looking at the number one seed Giants and the number one seed Jets. And they don't get bounced in the divisional round. And they have to host the AFC and NFC championship. And the NFL is king, man. They'll figure it out. Like I said, maybe they'll have a Saturday game. Maybe they'll have a Sunday game. That's just not – it's just the probability of that happening it's just the math is so low. I don't know. I don't know what they would do, but they would figure it out. You know, I don't think they would have a neutral site. I think it's important to have that home field advantage, and both teams would figure it out. Like, I think we're closer to seeing that in LA, as you saw the Chargers and the Rams both be in the playoffs. I mean, what did they do with the wildfires? They moved that game to Arizona. They had a contingency plan. Now that's natural disaster. I just think that if we actually did, they'd have a plan in place. The conference championship weekend might be staggered. Maybe they play the NFC championship Saturday and then they turn around and do it Sunday. But I don't know how long I'm going to live, how long you're going to live. I don't think we're ever going to see that. It's just the odds of that happening are very slim. Kyle is out in Tom's River. Kyle, you're on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I heard a caller say this last night, and I didn't get to hear your response, so I just want to hear what you have to say. The Giants have the third-round pick, so I was thinking that next year we have the toughest schedule, right?
Yes, they have the toughest strength of schedule. They have the third overall pick this year in the draft.
Right. So if we take Travis Hunter this year, and next year we're going to have like probably we're lucky if we get 3 wins, and then we can just get a quarterback next year, and Malik Nabers got 1,000 yards with the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. So that would be pretty good trio.
I think this is where you are. If you miss out on Cam and Shador, the top two quarterbacks, then you take the best available. But there is no way, in my estimation, that they can go through this whole draft, 7 rounds, without taking a quarterback. Maybe 2, depending on if somebody falls and they do their due diligence. They don't have a quarterback room. Drew Lock is gone. Daniel Jones is gone. Tim Boyle, come on. Tommy Cutlets, maybe he'll be around as a practice squad arm, a third string guy. They have to fill that room with 3 guys, and one should come through free agency, the other one through the draft, just so that they have like more of a veteran there and a young guy. I don't think they're going to actually draft 2 rookies, but I mean, you saw the Patriots draft 2 rookies last year. It's not unheard of. It happens a lot, actually. Even the Commanders, they drafted Jaden Daniels and Sam Hartman many moons ago. The Redskins drafted Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. Somebody call me up and tell me another team that's drafted 2 quarterbacks in the same draft. Like they need to draft a quarterback. You can't have eyes on like Archie Manning or the kid out of LSU like next year. They don't have a quarterback. They've passed on drafting quarterbacks the last few years. They will absolutely draft a quarterback this year. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. We're getting up to the break and the update, but yeah, I'll take another call on that and I'll elaborate more. Jack is in Rockland. Jack, you're on The Fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith? First time calling.
Thanks. Welcome in.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what do you think the actual chance of the Giants getting Shador Sanders?
They're high. Thanks for the call, Jack. We're just up against it. Marco just came in. We're going to throw to the update in 1 minute, but I'll elaborate here. With the talk about this generational talent stuff with the Titans, maybe they take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and then they ride with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, and maybe they bring in another quarterback over there, and they kick the can down the road. I don't think the Browns are in a position to pass on a quarterback with what we learned about Deshaun Watson. You know, I always say shout out to Evan. Deshaun Watson is to me what Sean McDermott is to Evan. Every time I mention Deshaun Watson, the masseuse madman, I'm going to remind you what he did. And I can't wait to see karma kick his ass all the way out of the league. And it is. He got caught on TikTok with his influencer girlfriend not wearing a walking boot a couple weeks ago. They're in L.A. They're in Miami. He's having a great time spending all that money that he made from the Browns, but not taking care of himself to be ready. Kirk Cousins came back. J.K. Dobbins came back. Aaron Rodgers came back. When we come back, we'll talk about comeback player of the year. Deshaun Watson's not going to be able to come back next year. So the Browns have to draft a quarterback in this draft. I think they take Cam Ward or Shador Sanders. But listen, the likelihood of the Giants getting Shador Sanders is high because Deion could say, I don't want my kid going to Ohio. I don't want my kid going there. And maybe Kevin Stefanski hears that and understands that, and they draft Cam Ward. And then, boom, you have Shador Sanders, the quarterback of the New York Giants, number 3 overall.